Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and we have our guest who's been with us in the past, Matt Drennan, who is the wonderful train store in Woodstock on the Square. If you're looking for any type of train or anything related to trains, you got to go see Matt. You got to go to his store. It's awesome. You really enjoy it. Plus, he doubled his size, so it's really an awesome place to be. And we want to welcome Matt for being here today. Matt, thanks a lot for coming to our show again.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate that intro.
So what's going on with trains?
What's going on with trains? I mean, it's the fall. We're going into Christmas. We're getting all kinds of fun. And honestly, there's a lot going on with trains. The first thing I really want to highlight, truthfully, is that there's a lot of choices when you want to go take a ride. Just doing normal Metro or things like that, but a couple of other ones that are kind of special.
So you want to tell us about what those specials are?
Well, the first one that is coming up is, you've seen it a lot in the news. Sir Richard Branson, of course, has mentioned it many times. But if somebody wants to take an airline flight, as of September 22nd, Brightline will be running from Orlando to Miami. They'll be running high speed. It'll be your first chance to really do what Americans call high speed rail in the United here. And it's going to be kind of an exciting trip. This is the first time that a dedicated passenger line has run the peninsula of Florida since you lost the Sunset Limited.
Are they planning on expanding that line? Do you know, Matt?
The theory is that they're going to expand it, yes. They wanted to go to Tallahassee and they wanted to go to Tampa. The question right now is where they're going to put the station in Orlando. They have a station at the entrance to Orlando, but there is some debate as where the main station for Orlando is going to land. Right now, it goes to the airport, okay? But from there, to go back down to Tampa, they have to either go through Disney property or they have to go through downtown. Now, of course, Disney would love it if they went through Disney property. Trust me, putting a train station right there and being able to go from the airport to the magical kingdom in the world, great. But downtown is favored by MGM.
Okay.
You got the fight of the amusement parks, who's going to get what, and that means putting it with the convention center, but there's a lot of rerouting for that to have to happen.
So what else is going on with when it comes to train rides?
Well, okay, so our local area here is, of course, the Illinois Railway Museum, and they are now starting to push their tickets for the Santa train. That is coming up here the first two weekends in December. Tickets are selling fast right now. It's an excellent ride. You get to ride with old St. Nick, tell him what you want for Christmas, enjoy cookies and hot cocoa on a classic train.
Have they expanded that train ride?
They have several times, and now it looks like they're going to be putting another run on right now. So we're waiting to see what happens.
So how long is it just a straight run, straight shot?
Yeah. When they do it, they basically run out of the park, straight down the trails to the end of their line, come back and run back the entire time you're spending with Santa Claus, being able to enjoy your time and have fun.
But there are other things that park as well.
Oh, yes. They'll still have the trolleys running for the most part. I think steam will be in bed by then because of the cold temperatures, but the trolleys will be running. You'll be able to probably ride the buses some of the days and things like that, but the big push is Old St. Nick.
Okay. Any other train rides we should know about?
Well, there was one more I was going to talk about, and that is it's not so much a ride, but it is a train visit. Now, every year, Canadian Pacific does their holiday train, and they are doing it again this year, and it's going to make its traditional stops in Gurnee, down in Bensenville, out in Rochelle, here in Illinois. Also, if you go across the border and go up to Studevant or somewhere along Wisconsin Dells, you can catch it up there. The schedule for the holiday train usually starts right around Thanksgiving, and Gurnee has traditionally been the week of December 8th, and that is when they are saying they'll do it again. It's an afternoon, evening stop, and it's an awesome show with the musical bands and the beautiful lights that they do on some of these more traditional Canadian Pacific train cars and engines.
Wow. And when we move on to, how about what's going on with local model railroad shows in the area, Matt?
Well, we, of course, have the traditional DuPage County show that will be happening every month. That happens every month except for July. And they are pushing some new vendors for October, November, and December that they haven't had before. It is usually the second Sunday of the month, and it is mostly a buying show, but it does create a good opportunity for someone who wants to actually start expanding their railroad. It's down at the DuPage County Fairgrounds, which I believe is in St. Charles, I think. And they go pretty much from 8 a.m. to about 3 p.m. And that's only on Sundays. Second Sunday of the month.
And that's on now, or when will
it start? It's on now, and it'll go through the end of the year. The only month they don't do it is July, because that's when you have the fairgrounds going on.
And are there any other railroad shows going on besides that one?
Well, I'm going to be a little shameless here, but I have two shows personally that go off this time of year
as
well.
Let's talk about it.
All right, so this year we are again doing the Huntley Fall Fest. The Huntley Fall Fest is something we've done for 9 years now, with the exception of COVID years. It is mostly a display show, and I'm excited to say that this year we will have the Arlington Heights Society of Model Engineers joining us with their layout. Awesome is a railroad I've been courting for a couple of years, and it's a really cool, nice O-gauge setup. We will, of course, have the Sun City and the O-gauge and HO-gauge representatives again this year. A couple of smaller vendors and the Midwest Rails Garden Railroad display, which is always a big hit.
And again, where does this all take place?
That takes place here, not too far from the radio station, actually, at the Park District building off of Mill Street here in Huntley. It's in conjunction with the Huntley Fall Fest Festival, which is a lot of fun. Lots of food, lots of music, carnival rides, a car show, tractor show, and of course, we're busy in the gym with the book sale.
The that particular show, if someone was to attend that show and they say, gee, I'm interested, I want to be able to purchase something, can you address that with them?
We will have several vendors there. There's three or four guys that come traditionally to all of my shows and sell. We'll have a variety of products to be able to do that.
What are you finding as far as your clientele, as far as the age that's coming in now from where it was years ago to way it got to the point where kids weren't interested in trains anymore, but now they're back into it? What are you finding in that age group, Matt?
As I like to say, we get kids from age 8 to 80. Pretty much the age group is still, even though COVID is pretty much done, a younger age group is still coming in the shop. We have kids coming in on their own with their own money to buy stuff now, but we also see plenty of teenagers. We lose a few in the 20s, you know, they find girls or they find boys, whichever way you want to go here. And in the 30s, they start bringing their own kids back and start building the railroad. So, I mean, and then I've even gotten guys that are retiring at 65 and building their first railroad, and ladies.
Wow.
So the dynamic has shifted from this idea that it's a couple of old guys in a basement playing with trains.
What are you finding? Is there a particular gauge the kids are more into right now?
It's more what kind of space their parents has said they can use.
Okay.
And that's a big part of it. Like we talked before, space is important. So if you've only got a small spot in your room, you're probably going to do N scale, maybe HO. You're definitely not going to put a G scale, because all you'd be able to do is put a little circle around a flower pot. But if your parents are letting you use your backyard, well, then sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want.
Or your basement.
Or the ceiling of your room. I've done all of them.
Are there any other events coming up that people should know about?
Well, that leads into the second event. Ironically enough, this year we're back-to-back on events. Usually we try to put a separation, but because of scheduling, we ended up back-to-back. We are doing our Woodstock Rail Fest again this year, October 7th and 8th. Now, the Rail Fest started as a show in the pandemic for people to be able to go and check railroads out without having to go into entries. A lot of the railroads get displayed in front windows so that you can view them from outside if you wish. But it has expanded. We have a small vendor hall. We have two new shops on board this year. We're probably going to be running about 24 different layouts throughout the square, and this is a walking square of the downtown where we put railroads in different businesses. And we get interest in new businesses every day. It's finding the railroads that's actually becoming the harder part. And with any luck, right now, we're waiting desperately on Metra, but they may provide us some equipment this year. We've got it out of legal and into contracts, and that's one of the most exciting things we've had come along in a long time, but there is a chance we'll have an engine, some cars parked up at that station.
So when these displays are shown, they're inside the buildings, and you can look at them from the outside?
A lot of them are set up with front window access so that if you don't want to come into the store, you can. But part of the point of the show is to allow you to tour the downtown area, see what is there, and not just come for the trains, but maybe find a new shop you want to shop at, too.
And that event, it takes place when?
October 7th and 8th.
And when is the Huntley show?
September 29th, 30th, and October 1st.
Oh, so they're almost back. They're almost
back
to back.
We are back to back.
So in your store, now that you've got the larger quarters than what you had before, what are you finding are the items that are moving faster than other items? I know you've got a wide variety there of trains and cars and all sorts of things, Matt. So why don't you share that with the folks?
It depends on the week. It really does. You know, every week it's been hard to chart because every week something different is all of a sudden taking center stage. Last week it was die-cast cars. This week it's N-scale. You know, 4 weeks ago we had a run of 3 weeks where HO was selling like no tomorrow. Before that, we unloaded a ton of O-scale. And G sort of sprinkles itself in, but we just got a phone call from two guys coming in from Arizona who want to take a look at my G selection, and that's probably going to go pretty quick. So, honestly, there's not an easy way to chart it.
So, guys are coming from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how they found you. How did it all take place?
Sometimes I wonder, honestly, because these guys will call up on the phone. They either found me online or they're coming to town and they're looking for a shop, and there's not as many of them as used to be. And these guys are, you know, looking it up and they're finding it online through Google or finding it online through Facebook. Or they have a friend who lives in the area and they say, you know what, I got to take you to this train shop. That just happened. We had a young man from Southern California picked up $100 worth of stuff because his aunt and uncle knew he was into trains. And when he came to town, they said, we got a train shop you got to see. And they dragged him up to the square. Now he's got my business card, and he's got a wish list of stuff he wants me to order for him to ship to California. So, you know, you never know. But it's a combination of word of mouth, some print media, which we just did the Northwest Quarterly Magazine. We'll be having an article coming out in that. Things like this. I've had people reference the radio show a couple of times now. So that's kind of cool. Just very simple internet searches.
So tell us about your... Your article is coming out.
Well, Northwest Quarterly Magazine wanted to do an article on RailFest because they're spotlighting Woodstock, and they wanted to do an article on the fact that we had expanded. So the cool thing was we got to talk a little bit about my philosophy on trains, talk a little bit about how I see the business in 10 years, but really actually got to highlight things like FallFest, RailFest, and tell people in a print medium that people still read you know, we're going to be there, and you really should come on out and check it out. And the good news is, according to Brian Hughes, it should be out with enough time for Fall Fest.
So maybe we're gonna cheat a little bit. But before we do that, I want to mention to everybody that you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Some of the things that you told the newspaper about what's coming and what you're seeing, maybe we get a little heads up on that. Tell us ahead of time, Matt, if you would.
When you're talking about what my philosophy on the railroading?
You got it.
Okay, so I've said this before, I'll say it again. A railroad is an extension of your imagination. That's really what it is. What you put down on the board and what you have for, a railroad is going to be what comes out of your head. If you're unhappy with it, you won't play with it. You know, that's the facts of life. So it's a big thing to figure out what you really want to do. It takes some time. You don't just come in and say, oh, I'm going to buy a train set and this is going to be my railroad for life. That's not what happens. So we sit down and we talk to people and we actually have a long conversation about it. You know, what are you looking for? What scale? How much room? All of these questions. And there are times where it might be two or three times before somebody buys something because we got to answer all these questions.
I'm sure you must have some young people come in, boys and girls, that are in that predicament. They're not sure what they want. They want to train, but they're just not sure what and how. So how do you kind of guide them, Matt?
Well, I'll correct one thing. We got young and old. Every day we get somebody, whether they're 7 or 70 or what have you, who doesn't really know how they want to train, but they don't know where to start. And the first thing we do is we pull out the old Model Railroader magazine, Getting Started in Garden Railroading book that every single one of us has a copy of, I guarantee
okay.
you.
Okay.
We pull that out and we show them some things. But the very first question I ask is, how much room are you dedicating to this railroad? You know, and if they say, oh, well, it's going to be in a corner of my bedroom, that automatically tells me I'm not going to talk to them about G-scale or O-scale unless their bedroom is 30 by 45.
Right.
Okay. Right. Which I did have one kid who had the basement as his bedroom, so that was possible. But, but so, I mean, basically what you're looking at is feeling out what they want to do and getting them thinking about it. It's not just buying a train. It's buying what you want to see in a train.
Right.
And that takes some time sometimes.
Well, then the next step probably would be, once you decide the train that you're going to purchase and you're going to place it someplace in your home, basement, whatever, what about all the things that go along with it, the tunnels, the extra elements that go along with that?
Well, when you set up a railroad and you do all of these things, the first thing you really want to kind of do after you've decided, okay, I'm doing steam, do I want a city or am I looking at terrain? You know, that's a first question, because that'll help design your board. So if you are looking at terrain and you just want some building elements, great, do a rural railroad. Put in a mountain, put in a portal, but plan for it, and also plan for what you do if something goes wrong in it. Leave your space behind. Take a way to get it out of there if something happens. And then from there, you start to script it. A lot of times I'll tell guys, you know, buy some track. Throw it down on the board. See what that curve looks like. See what you like. You can draw it with a string if you don't want to buy the track. Tack it in. A lot of that visual will help you start to see, oh, well, heck, a mountain will go good there. Or, you know, I want a farm over here. Now, if you're doing a city, figure out, do you want diesel or steam? Do you want it to be passenger or freight? Then you can place your train station and things like that.
Do you have people coming in with a photograph saying, here's the layout that I think I'm going to like to use for my train. Here's my space. I laid out the string or whatever. I laid some track out. But can you help me from there? Then what happens? I mean, that's when they're counting on you to help them.
In a lot of ways. Decide. In a lot of ways. And we're working on a series of classes right now that would allow us to be able to do that. But really, the next step is, okay, fine. You've got it laid out. Let's buy some track and see what it really looks like. See where your tight points are going to be. See where your problems are going to be. I had one guy bring me a picture of downtown Crystal Lake. He wanted to create that as a railroad on a shelf.
Wow.
But the problem is, you got to find the buildings. So it's pawn through a lot of buildings to see what works for you. Or learning how to modify them.
We kind of skipped over there. You said classes. We should touch base on that. So let's tell the folks about that, Matt. You kind of skimmed right by that.
Well, it's a program that we've been working on for a little bit, but we haven't had a chance to really launch. We do a basic maintenance class 4 times a year where we teach people how to take care of their train. It's actually an important thing because they're not just toys. They're little machines, and little machines need maintenance. People don't do it a lot. They don't think about it, and then they end up with a broken toy, and they get frustrated. So we teach them how to take care of them. That's the class that started everything. But now we are working on basic track plans, how to design a railroad. We are working on scenery element plans, how to do certain things, learning how to use static grass or learning how to carve a mountain or learning how to build on a budget. And these are all classes that we're scripting that with any hope by next year we have launched. I got to find instructors for them, really.
What do you plan each class to be, like an hour in length?
We do between 1 hour and 2 hours. If we have a lab, then it's a 2-hour class because that allows for 1 hour of lecture and 1 hour of lab. That's what the maintenance class is. If we're going to do a basic design class, probably going to be 1 hour long, talking about elements and learning how to draw and do things like that.
You know, I have to be honest with you. When I walk into your new store, double the size, I truly don't know where to begin because there's just so much there. There's so much to see. That it's like, you know, being in a candy shop and saying, oh, I'll a little of this, a little of that. But there's so much going on there that, I mean, you must have people come in that probably walk around for a period of time just wondering which way they want to go.
I had one guy stay for 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've actually had people say, look, I'll let you set a cot up right there, you know, if you want to stay the night, and I'll be back tomorrow at 10. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I've told people this before, the store was intentionally designed to make you want to come back. So that means there's got to be a lot for you to look at. You can't just have a couple little displays here and there. Nobody's going to stay, especially in a big building like that.
What about the other items you have? You've got, besides the trains, you've got other items there too.
We have expanded on some of our stuff, yes. We, of course, got into die-cast cars through Hot Wheels and Matchbox, but started doing 1/18th and 1/24th scale die-cast, all of the companies. Action figures came along, accurate action figures like Dragon, World War II figures, some football figures and things like that, as well as starting lineup stuff because people showed interest. But the most recent addition has been plastic models. We picked up a collection of models that had some really nice ones, including the USS Arizona, the USS Yamato, the USS Musashi, which are challenging models made by Trumpeter. And they sold very, very well. So
now, these are unassembled or assembled?
Unassembled. And they sold very well. And so I looked at the guys and said, do we take the plunge? And they said, sure. And we just signed a contract with MRC for Trumpeter, Italia, and Hobby Boss to start bringing in new kits.
What are the size of these kits? When these
everything from 1/170th to 1/6th. We actually have a Dragon 1/6 Sherman Howitzer tank in the store that needs to be built. And it comes in a cardboard box that's as big as your table right here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It probably someone like you and I would look at it and say, that's going to take me about 4 days or something. And some youngster would come along and say, I'll do it in 4 hours.
There is a chance. Yeah. And that's the thing. We have a lot of younger kids getting back into building plastic models. The airplanes have been very popular.
Tell us about the airplanes. What size are they, Matt?
Well, again, we range anywhere from that 1/170th all the way down to about 1/6th. We have models that are both modern as well as historic, all the way back to World War I. We carry a lot of World War II choices, a lot of Korea War choices, but we also have some models that are traditional flight. We had a really nice BAOC model that was a DC-10 that was absolutely gorgeous. The kid bought, loved it, and it had nothing to do with the military. It was a British passenger plane.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? That's what he wanted. We just had a kid buy Maverick's stealth fighter. They did that as a plastic model, the F-19. And the kid just bought that to build because he's going to detail it up because he loves the movie.
Wow. As you can see, it's like going into a candy shop. I mean, there's just so many things to see. It's just awesome.
You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. My wife has made it very, very clear to me that I'm going to work to play, so I better not complain about my job.
How do you keep track of all this inventory, Matt? I mean, when I go in there, it's like there's thousands of items there. My goodness.
Well, we do have a database that we record everything in as it comes in. But we also got my brain. And the guys have said very often that if they need to find something in a hurry, they'll ask me before they look in the computer. I wish I could clone myself because that would be great. I could get some rest. But honestly, the shop it's just a fun place. And it's another place to come for Christmas time because we do our extended hours and we have everything going on in the square. But it allows people to sort of relax for a moment and not worry about the crap that's bothering them outside.
You know, it's kind of like what you morphed into is really what years ago they called a hobby shop. You went to a hobby shop, you had trains, you had cars, you had this, you had that. And really, you've kind of gravitated into that you're really a true modern-day hobby shop with all the things that you've got, all that's going on, the trains and planes and everything else. That's got to be awesome. Someone walks in there, no matter what age you may be, there's a lot to see, and look at this, look at that. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen when you walk in that store.
The best compliment I ever got was a guy walked in there and says, I swear to God, I'm in Frank's. Now, Frank's Hobby Shop was the big hobby shop in Crystal Lake for years. I mean, Frank Rep was the man. And if anybody's comparing me to him, then I made it somewhere.
Wow. Wow. How about the hours for your shop, Matt? You want to share that with the folks?
Well, we're there 10 to 5, pretty much every day except Wednesday. Wednesday is the day we are closed. It gives me a chance to actually go out and meet with clients. Saturdays through Farmers Market, we are there from 9 to 5, and Sundays we are there from 11 to 4. Now, keep an eye on the Facebook page because the hours will be changing for Christmas. We are in the process of setting that up. Usually make the change the week before Thanksgiving and run through the end of the holiday.
Okay. Well, we've been talking to Matt Drennan, who has the shop on the square, the shop you can't miss. When you look in the window, you see all types of trains and toys and whatnots that really will excite you. And if you go inside, you'll be even more excited, let me tell you. I have been in that store, and it's really awesome. We want to thank Matt for being here today, and we'd like to remind everybody you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We hope you all have a great day, and thank you again for listening.